How could it have been a landmark? It was just a breezy, lighthearted, half-hour sitcom, which began its life in 1966. Post My Little Margie and pre Mary Tyler Moore, television found the way to its very first version of the single girl on her own in the big city show. The series was called That Girl, and yes, the mild-mannered program does have landmark status. But let's back up a little. In the early 1960s, women were starting to think differently about their lives. The pill had FDA approval, and soon after that, in 1962, Helen Gurley Brown's book Sex and the Single Girl, the mother of all advice manuals, sold literally millions of copies in only a few weeks. The book was a jazzy how-to on being desirable, glamorous, and financially independent while staying blissfully unmarried.
I've got this new apartment and enough money for furs and diamonds and everything else I've always wanted.
Sex and the Single Girl reached movie screens in 1964.
Married? I don't want to be married. I've got work I care about much more.
Singles bars, a whole new concept, started to appear in New York in 1965. Before that, they were just bars. Right around this time, an ambitious young actress, Marlo Thomas, was trying to make her way in the big city as she negotiated a deal to star in a sitcom on network TV. She was being offered, remembers writer-producer Bill Persky, the usual story.
She was somebody's daughter. She was a nurse. She was a teacher. None of them were about an aspirational person. So she came back and said, I don't want to do any of these.
Thomas had been reading, too, books like The Feminine Mystique, which suggested a new path for women. It was Thomas's raised consciousness, if you will, that led her back to the network. She talked, in a 2003 interview for the Archive of American Television, about the moment she pitched a TV exec her own idea for a sitcom.
And I said to him, I was just wondering, have you ever thought about doing a show about a young woman who is the focus of the story, where it's about her dreams, about something that she wants out of life? And he said to me, do you think anybody would be interested in a show like that? I said, I think so. And I said, how about doing a show about a girl like me, whose parents want her to get married? She wants to be an actress. She wants to move to the big city. Her father's scared she's going to lose her virginity, even though she probably already has. And so he said, okay, let's try it.
Hey, you were awful.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, I was trying so hard to be good.
No, I mean, Sheila was awful. You were great.
Really? You mean you really like my performance?
You showed us enough rottenness to keep that character going for months.
Bill Persky and Sam Denoff were hired to put the show together with one network stipulation. The single girl had to have a steady boyfriend. Other than that, they were off. Show one was about Anne's first job.
Well, even an actress has to earn a living. Is this for a play?
No, it's a kind of film.
A film? You mean a movie film?
And she was never defeated, and no one ever gave her an easy shot at being what she wanted to be, and her parents always said, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. Girls don't do that.
All of which led them to a title.
My parents used to refer to my sister in the third person because she was a real go-getter and not out of the normal mold, and they would say, that girl is going to kill me. That girl is driving me crazy. You know what that girl did now? It was always a way of underlining that she wasn't like other girls. She was that girl. So we named the show That Girl for that reason.
Why are you wearing that?
Well, because I love
So the Thomas character, Anne Marie, had moved to New York with the reluctant blessings of her meddlesome parents.
Now, Daddy, don't start again.
I'm not starting again. I never stopped.
She had wacky New York neighbors.
I'm Judy Bessemer, your neighbor. Oh, hi.
Hi. It's your father.
What's my father?
I don't know, but he's on the phone.
There were her struggles as an actress with revolving day jobs.
What time is it? What time is it, Charlie?
You'll be out of here in 30 more hamburgers.
Charlie, make them all rare.
And the boyfriend, of course.
Donald, how could you believe such a crazy story?
Because you're not the kind of girl who would make up a story like that just to make a fellow jealous.
It all sounds pretty conventional. After all, in 1966, America was beginning to come apart at the seams. War abroad, race issues at home. The newly formed National Organization for Women had its first meetings. But in the parallel universe of television, That Girl went as far as it could go in network TV and even a little further. In the series, Anne Marie's father would constantly remind her that she was getting older, that she wouldn't be marriageable forever.
And so that became an important part of the show, where she would say to her father, Daddy, I don't want to get married now. I have things I want to do. I have dreams I want to pursue. And she would say, I don't think I'm ready to get married. I'm not sure what I want to do.
I don't want to be tempted. You see, I promised to give myself a year at least.
That was a very, very revolutionary thing to say on television at that time. That had never been said.
Please don't be hurt. It's just that, well, this is something that I just won't be ready for a long, long time.
This all sounds too rosy, you say. What about the network battles, the censors, standards and practices, the knockdown, drag-out fights of principle? Well, there was one of those for sure. At the end of its 5-year run, the network wanted that girl to go out in the final episode with the wedding of Anne Marie and her boyfriend, Donald.
And Marlowe said, which I agreed, we went in, if she gets married, it means that the whole thing is only about playing around and the reward is getting married. She's not getting married. And it was a very important thing. Even the network people couldn't conceive, well, they've been together and he's so adorable and all of that. Why aren't they getting married? Because it isn't about that.
My article on Women's Lib is missing.
Oh, well, you're looking in the
Instead,
wrong
the final episode in 1971 took place as they were stuck in an elevator on their way to a women's lib meeting.
What happened to the meeting?
No men showed up.
None?
None. He would have been the only one there.
Not one showed?
Not one.
And television had just moved on to Mary Tyler Moore, a more mature single woman without a steady boyfriend, operating forcefully in a man's world.
Mary always says Marlowe opened the door and she came through it. It was the next step that a woman could take.
Small steps in the parallel universe of TV. A sitcom took feminism and sort of ran slightly backwards with it, which in the end may have moved it forward. TV, that medium. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.